This week's Parsha is Parshas Vayechi, and the shiur is going to be on mourning the loss of Yaakov. And the focus of the shiur is going to be discussing portions of this week's Parsha, which deal with the Avelus, the mourning of Yaakov and its significance. And we'll start from Bereishis Perek Nun Pasuk Beis. It says, I'm going to read the first source, it's number one on the source sheet. Says Vayitzav Yosef es avadav es harofim lachanot es aviv vayachantu harofim es Yisrael. So in this week's parsha, Yaakov passes away. He's niftar, and Yosef decides to embalm him to preserve his body. And this pasuk in Beis, it says that Yosef told his servants and the doctors of Mitzrayim of Egypt to embalm his body, and they did so. And Gimel, it says an interesting thing. It says, "Vayimlu lo arba'im yom ki chen yimlu yemei chanutim vayivku oso Mitzrayim shivim yom." So it took 40 days for them to complete the embalmment of Yaakov, and it says that Egypt, all of Egypt, they mourned Yaakov for 70 days. Okay, so we're going to start from these two psukim, and one of the questions that I want to address is, why is it important for the Torah to tell us how the Mitzrayim mourned Yaakov? Why is that significant? I would think that it's important to tell us how the Jews mourned Yaakov, but why is it important to tell us that the Mitzrayim, that they cried for Yaakov for 70 days? Okay? And if that's not a strong enough question, just to add on to that, there's a couple of psukim, in a couple of psukim later, number two, in Pasuk Zion, the Torah recounts again the Egyptians mourning for Yaakov. And let's read through the psukim. I'll go slow. If anybody has any questions, please feel free to ask, as usual. So if you look at number two, source number two, it's Perek Nun Pasuk Zayin. Vayal Yosef likbor es aviv, vayalu ito kol avdei paro ziknei beso, v'chol ziknei eretz Mitzrayim. So Yosef, he goes up to Eretz Yisrael for the purpose of burying Yaakov, and the servants of Paro and his elders and all the elders of Mitzrayim came along. They were his entourage. V'chol beis Yosef echav uveis aviv rak tapam mitzonam uvkaram azvu be'aretz Goshen. And all of the house of Yosef and his brothers and the uveis aviv and the house of his father rak tapam mitzonam uvkaram azvu be'aretz Goshen. They left all the children and the cattle in Goshen. Vayal imo gam rechev gam parashim vayihi amachane kaved meod. Okay, so in addition to all those people, also the military men of Egypt came as well. The chariot drivers and the horsemen, they came. And the end of the pasuk is interesting. It says vayihi amachane kaved meod. Kaved means heavy. So the machane was very heavy. Then we go on to Yud and it says vayavo ad goren ha'atad. So they came to this place called Goren ha'atad, which we'll come and explain later. Asher be'eva ha'yardain, which was on the Israel side, on the other side of the Yardain. Vayispedu sham mispeid gadol v'chaved me'od. Vayas la'aviv evil shivas yamim. There is a great eulogy. A mispeid is a eulogy. There is a great and heavy eulogy, and they made an avelus, a mourning for Yaakov for 7 days. Okay? Then it says, Vayar Yosheva aretz haknani esa evel begoren ha'atad. So the people of Canaan, they witnessed this morning. Vayomru avel kaved zeb lemitzrayim. This is a very strong, a very heavy mourning for Mitzrayim. Al kain karash shema avel Mitzrayim. They called the place the mourning of Egypt, asher be'evar hayarden, which was on the Jewish side, on the Israel side. Okay. Vayasu banav lo kain kasher tivam. And they did as Yaakov had commanded them. Vayisu oso banav arta kanan vayikperu oso b'maras de amachbela asher kan Avraham es hasadeh lachuzas kever me'esa fronach itiap ne'mamre. And they buried Yaakov in maras machbela. And then at the end, Yudal, it says, Vayashav Yosef Mitzrayim ohuv echav v'chol ha'olim itol likbor saviv achrei kovro saviv. And then Yosef and all his brothers, they go back to Mitzrayim after completing the burial of Yaakov. Okay? So these psukim really summarize the whole burial of Yaakov. But what I find strange about the psukim is that why is it necessary? Why does the Torah tell us that that the people of the Canaan, they saw this and they named the place Avel Mitzrayim? They named it the mourning of Mitzrayim because it was very heavy mourning. Why is that significant that the Torah should mention, you know, how the Mitzrayim mourned for Yaakov. But furthermore, just to add to the original question, we saw earlier in the first source, in Beis and Gimel, in Pasuk Beis and Gimel, that it says that they cried for Yaakov 70 days. And now it's telling us again that they mourned for Yaakov. So what exactly is the difference? Why does the Torah have to mention it twice? It seems a little bit redundant. And what was the difference between the first time they cried for Yaakov and then in the second time in Pasuk Yud and Yud Aleph, where the Torah recounts it, it sounds like it's different. So what's different about it? What changed? And why does the Torah have to mention this twice? Okay? Anybody else have any questions or any other questions aside from my questions? Anybody? Okay. All right. So those are the questions on the Psukim. So, but the main idea is, what is the significance and what ideas and lessons can we learn from the mourning of Yaakov in terms of how the Mitzrayim mourns Yaakov? It seems to be strange that the Torah cares to tell us that the Mitzrayim mourned for Yaakov. Okay. So I just want to, let's start with the first Psukim. So it says, Vayitzav Yosef Savadov in source number one, and as we said, it says, Vayimlu lo and gimel, arbaim yom, ki chen yimlu yimei achanotim, vayivku oso Mitzrayim shivim yom. So the first thing that we see is that the Mitzrayim, they cried for Yaakov after Yaakov died for 70 days. And Rashi explains this. So look at number three in Rashi on these psukim. In Pasuk Beis, it says, Lachanot es aviv, inyan merkachas besamimhi. So it's a reference to using various spices in order to embalm the body. Okay, so that was how we explained it before. Then he says, Vayimlu lo, hishlimu lo yimei chanitaso, achim malu lo arboim yom. Okay, so his embalming took a total of 40 days. Vayivku oso mitraim shivim yom, arboim lachanita. So they cried for him 40 days when he was being embalmed, ushloshim levechia, and 30 days they cried, lefisha balahem bracha leraglo, because as a result of Yaakov being present in Mitzrayim, so they were blessed. Shekala harav, why? Because the famine stopped, v'hayu yumei nilus misbarchin, and also the waters of the Nile were very blessed. Okay, so the basic summary of Rashi is that he's explaining why they cried for Yaakov. They cried for Yaakov because Yaakov, when he was in Mitzrayim, the Chazal tell us that the famine stopped and the economy was great. Why? Because the Nile was blessed. Okay? So if you were to describe Rashi, how would you describe this type of mourning, this type of avelos? How would you describe it? This is a question for the people on the phone line, for the women on the phone line. How would you describe the Avelis? See, to me, I don't know, to me it would seem like this Avelis is kind of a selfish Avelis. Why? Because if you look at Rashi, what Rashi's really saying is that why did they really mourn Yaakov? So they mourned Yaakov because of his effect on them. So they really mourned Yaakov, not because of Yaakov, but they mourned because of their own loss. So the way the Torah and the Chazal are explaining this first bechia of the Mitzrayim of the Egyptians is that they're describing it as kind of a selfish type of mourning, like if somebody dies and they were supporting you, you know, and then they die and you cry, but you don't cry because of the person, you cry because you're losing out on the money that they gave you to pay for your rent or to pay for your mortgage. So that type of mourning is kind of a shallow mourning. It's a mourning because of the side result of the person. Because the person was providing you with a certain service, and now you're losing out on that service because the person dies, and you're mourning debt. So the Torah, I think, in the first two psukim in Beis and Gimel, they're describing a certain type of mourning, a certain class of mourning, and they're saying that the Mitzrayim initially they mourned for Yaakov not as an appreciation of Yaakov, but rather as a selfish type of avelis, a selfish type of mourning. Okay. But if you go on further in the Psukim, so it wasn't an accident that I bolded the words Kaved in the Psukim. If you look at Tes, Yud, and Yud Alf, okay? So something changed over there. So let's look through the Psukim again. It says, Vayal imo gam rechev gam parashim vayihi amachane kaved me'od. Okay, so who came up with Yosef? All these people. There were the servants of Paro, the elders of Mitzrayim, Yosef's brothers came up. And then it says also the chariots, the horsemen, and the chariot drivers. And it says vayihi amachane kaved meod, which means heavy. But for some reason, the Torah uses the same word in number in Yud and Yud Aleph. It says Vayavo ad Goren Ha'atad Asher be'Ever Hayarden Vayispedu Sham Mispeid Gadol V'Chaved Meod. So they came to this place called Goren Ha'atad, and there was a great eulogy there. It was great in Kaved. Vayas La'aviv Evel Shivas Yomim, and they mourned 7 days. And then if you look in Yud Aleph, it uses the same word. It says Vayar Yoshev Aratz Laknani Esa Evel BeGoren Ha'atad Vayomru Avel Kaved Zel Mitzrayim Al Kain Krashima Avel Mitzrayim Asher Be'Ever Hayarden. Okay, so it seems to be using the same word, but luckily. We have Unkelus, and most of the time you read through Unkelus. I don't know if anybody's read through Unkelus, but Unkelus, who's the Tirgum, who's the explanation of the Torah, you read through him and you don't think he adds that much. But he really, if you look in these psukim in specific, he really adds a lot to the understanding of the psukim, and I think he gives insight through his explanation of the psukim. So if you look at number 4 in the source sheet, which is the Unkelus, if you look on the pasuk test, it says. Usleik ime af risakin af parashin v'havas masher yasa sagia lachada. So he says that who went with Yosef? The horsemen and parashin are parashin are the horsemen and risakin are the chariot drivers. And he says v'hava mashrisa sagia lachada. And the camp was very many. Sagia means a lot. Sagia lachada in Aramaic. So the word kaved by Unkelus is described as sagia, as very many. But if you look in the next pasuk in Yud, he uses a different word to describe kaved. He says va'aso ad beis adrei de'atad de'be'ivra de'yardina. So they came to this place on the other side of the Yarden. V'safdu taman. So they gave a eulogy over there. Mispeid rav v'takif lachada. A eulogy that was great and very takif, which means powerful. Va'avad la'achui evla shiva yomin. Okay, and they made a mourning 7 days. And then if you look in Yud Aleph, it says, V'chaza yasev ara kinana yas evla beves edre datad v'amaru, and they said, Avel takif din le Mitzray. It's a very powerful avelus, mourning for the Mitzrayim. Al kain krashime avel Mitzrayim de be'ivra de yardana. Okay, so what exactly is Unkelus adding? So he's telling you that there's two explanations of the word kaved that the Torah is using. In Pasuk test, the word kaved is used to describe many. Like the camp was very heavy, meaning there were many people there, and it was a very big camp. But if you look in Yud and Yud Aleph, he says that the mispeid was gadol v'chaved, and they call it avel kaved. And he explains that kaved is used to introduce an idea of power, and that the mispeid, the eulogy of Yaakov, was very powerful, was very intense. And also it says avel kaved zel Mitzrayim, that in the description of the mourning, it was described as very powerful, that it was very intense. Okay, so I think that the Unkelus is helping us in trying to at least like give us insight into why the Psukim are mentioning the Mitzrayim's mourning of Yaakov 2 times. See, in the first, and we're going to go further into the idea of Hesped and try to explain why it was so powerful. But at least you see from just the Pshat that in the first Psukim, in Beis and Gimel, in Nun, you see that the Mitzrayim only related to Yaakov from a selfish standpoint. But in the second Psukim, you see that the mispeid, the eulogy, was very powerful, and you see that the Mitzrayim, they mourned in a different type of way. They mourned in a much deeper fashion, a much more powerful way. Okay, so apparently the Torah, it seems like important, and we're going to explain later why that is, but the Torah is telling us that there was a shift in mourning from the Mitzrayim in the initial psukim to later psukim. That first they viewed Yaakov, as I said before, from a self-centered standpoint, and now they're viewing Yaakov from a deeper and a more insightful and a more powerful standpoint. Okay? So why exactly is that so? Like what happened? What changed the Mitzrayim? And again, same question, why is this significant? What can we learn from these ideas? Okay? So I just wanted to delve into the idea of Hesped, the idea of a eulogy, because the Torah introduces in Pasuk Yud, it says Vayavo ad Goren Ha'atad, Asher be'Ever Hayarden, Vayispedu Sham Mispeid Gadol V'Chaved. So the Torah is telling us that the Hesped of Yaakov, the eulogy of Yaakov, apparently was very powerful. So I want to just, I saw a very interesting Rabbeinu Chananel that gives us incredible insight into what a Hesped is, what a eulogy is, and maybe will explain to us, what exactly happened with the Mitzrayim. Okay, but first, what is the category of Hesped, of a eulogy, in terms of halacha? So if you look in number 5 in the Rambam, It's Hilchos Avelos, Hilchos Avel, Parak Yud Beis Halacha Aleph. It says, Ha Hesped Kavod Hameso. So what is a eulogy? It's in the category of respect for the dead. Kavod Hames. Lefichach, therefore, Kofen Es HaYorshin Litein Schar Mekodonim Vaha Mekodonos V'Sovdin Oso. So you can force people to pay for somebody to eulogize the dead person. V'im tziva shelo yisbeduhu, but if the person doesn't want a eulogy, the person who died said, I don't want a eulogy after I die, ein soften oso, then you listen to him. Aval im tziva shelo yikaver, ein shomin lo. But if a person says, don't bury me, you can't listen to him. Shakvura mitzvah, shenamar ki kavor tikbarenu. Because there you have an obligation to bury a person. It's not within their choice or their realm. Okay? But the Rambam, the reason why I'm bringing the Rambam is that he's explaining the general category of hesped. And what is it? It's kavod ames. It's really respect for the dead. And the person can control whether a eulogy is set for him, but the general category is that by eulogizing a person, you're demonstrating a respect for them. Okay? But how is that related in the psukim over here, in the psukim that we have? So this is where I want to come to this Rabbeinu Chananel. I don't know if everybody has it, because I send out two different copies of sheets. So one of them has the Rabbeinu Chananel, but the other one, some people don't get the TIF files, so I send them the Word document instead. So it's missing the Rabbeinu Chananel. So I guess you'll just have to listen in. Okay? Yeah, we have a question from Tamar Ginsburg. Yes, question.
How can you eulogize the Katan?
That's a separate question. I don't really want to take that up right now. Okay?
Okay.
All right. So it says, Vayishbedu sham mesped gadol v'chaved me'od. Okay? This is Rabbeinu Chananel. He says, Tisha minim shall hesped him. There are nine types of eulogies. He has nine words to describe it. Mesped, which actually means like a eulogy. Nehi, tsa'aka, hilol, nida, merzach, kinim, hege, vahi. Okay, so I actually looked up every word. And I probably don't have the exact definition of every word, but I looked up every word. So let's just go through the psukim. It says, Vayispedu alav hoy achi. So he eulogized him. So the first word used in reference to eulogy is the word mispaid, which means to eulogize. Nihi, shenamar ki kol nihi nishma metzion. Nihi means wailing. So eulogy is equated to crying, you know, ferociously, like wailing, the idea of a wail. Okay, tsa'aka v'heliel, shenamar za'ak v'heliel ben adam. So, and then there's za'aka, which means screaming, and yoliel is like a piercing cry. So far we have eulogy, we have the idea of a misbade, the eulogy, the word eulogy, then you have wailing, then you have, you know, crying, and you have a piercing cry. And then nida, shenamar nodu lo kol svivav, which means lamentations, to lament, okay. Marzeach shenemar kom arshem altavo beis marzeach, which just means the house of mourning, which I don't understand how it's used for hesped, but he uses it. Kinim vahege vahai. So they're all different types of lamentations. Hege means murmuring, and vahi, sorry, means woe. Shenemar eleha kinim vahege vahi. Okay, so the Rabbeinu Chananel, he's saying there's nine types of eulogies that are expressed in Tanakh. And there are different words used to express eulogy. You have wailing, you have screaming, you have lamenting, you have moaning, murmuring. All these things are mentioned in terms of describing a eulogy. Okay, and then he says a very interesting thing. He says, "Ukshehizkir kan mispeid gadol v'chaved me'od." So when it says in the psukim that for Yaakov the eulogy was very great and very intense and powerful, yichlol kol tisha minim halalu shel hesped. So it included all these nine forms or types of hesped. V'limedcha hakasav teisha kitos she'aluim Yosef, and the Torah, it's analogous to the nine classes of people that came up with Yosef. Hispedu alav tisha mine hesped. So analogous to the nine classes of individuals or types of individuals that went up with Yosef, there were nine types of eulogies expressed. Okay? It's a very strange idea. What does he mean that it's analogous to the people who went up with Yosef? So there's very tiny little footnote, and I'm sorry I couldn't enlarge it. But the tiny footnote, he actually explains it. If you look in number 5 in the tiny footnote, it says, "Inyan ze mevuar sham Rabbeinu Bechaya pasuk zayin v'zel shona." So Rabbeinu Bechaya explains this. Vayal Yosef likboras aviv, matzinu tisha kito she'alu imo likvura, or likavra. There's nine classes or nine types of individuals who went up with Yosef. Vayal Yosef likboras aviv. So the first one is Yosef himself. And then it says, Vayalu ito kol avdei paro elu hasarim. Then you have the officers of paro, ziknei beso. Then you have the elders of paro, v'chol ziknei eretz mitzrayim, and all the elders of the mitzrayim, v'chol beis Yosef, and all the house of Yosef, ishto v'shevchosa v'vana v'avadav, meaning his whole household, v'echov, then you have the brothers, achi Yosef kulon, ubeis aviv, hagedolim zulasi ataf, and then you have the house of his father, v'yal imo gam rechev gam parashim. You have the chariots and you have the horsemen. So if you look carefully in the psukim, when the psukim describe all the individuals that go up to Bar Yaakov, you can break it down into nine. And for some reason, there's a correlation between the nine forms of eulogy and the nine classes of individuals that came up with Yosef. So I just want to understand, what exactly is he talking about? What does it mean that there's nine types of hesped? What does that mean? And also, what does that have to do with the types of individuals that came up to bury Yaakov? And also, apparently, he's trying to explain the pasuk, and he's saying that this is an explanation of mispeid gadol v'chaved. Why was it a mispeid gadol v'chaved? Because it included these nine forms of hesped. So, you know, what is the significance of this? Why? What does it even mean? What does it mean that there's nine forms of hesped? So that's what I want to explain or want to answer. So, and I think this is a relevant idea in terms of just hespedim, eulogies that are done even bizman hazeh, even in our time. Okay, so I want to take that up. Does anybody have any explanations, or anybody want to try a possibility as to, you know, what or how you would describe the nine forms of hesped? Anybody? All right, Tamar?
Well,
okay, so Tamar is explaining that the words used in the Rabbeinu Chanano are different expressions of emotions, okay? So I think Tamar is on the right track, okay? Does anybody want to add to that or elaborate or have a different idea? See, I think the idea is that when a person dies, different people have different emotions and they express their emotions differently. You know, some people are colder than others and some people, you know, are angry and they scream, and some people moan as a form of depression, or there's different emotions. There's a whole gamut of emotions that emerge when a person that you love and a person that you respect dies. And different people feel certain emotions more strongly than other emotions. And the idea of a hesped, of a eulogy, is that a eulogy is a verbalization of those emotions. So Rabbeinu Chanano is giving us like a beautiful idea. He's saying that the reason why the Torah describes nine forms of hesped is because the Torah is telling us that there's nine ways in which it's appropriate to verbalize a person's emotions through hesped. And it's really appropriate for a person to wail, or it's appropriate for a person to scream. But different people feel different emotions, and they emphasize certain emotions more than others, depending on, you know, the person and who they are and how they related to the mace. Okay? So apparently the Rabbeinu Chanano is saying that by Yaakov, see, all the whole gamut of emotions felt when a person, a loved one dies, were expressed in the hesped. And apparently that's the idea that the Torah is saying, that the hesped was kaved. He says it's a gadol v'chaved mil. What made it so powerful? What made the hesped so powerful? That in the hesped, there is an enunciation of all the various forms of emotions that a person could feel when a beloved person dies. And the hesped was a verbalization of the whole gamut of emotions. It wasn't just screaming, it wasn't just moaning, it was the whole gamut of emotions that were expressed. But still, the question is, why is it relevant that it's correlated to the nine different people that came up, or classes of individuals that came up from Mitzrayim? Why is that relevant? So you see, I think it fits into this idea like beautifully, and I think it's really nice. See, people, as we said before, people relate to death differently, and people have different emotions when a person dies. But a lot of the emotional response that a person has is also based on where they are in life, and how old they are, and what their position is, and and how they and how close they were to the mace, to the dead person. So and so I think the Torah is, see, I think the Rabbi Yochanan is explaining that the reason why the Mitzrayim were affected so deeply by the Hesped was that the Hesped really encompassed all the emotions, all the potential emotions that one could feel when a mace dies, when a person dies. But you see, it really hit all the different classes and categories of people that came with Yosef. Why? Because all the different types of people that came with Yosef, they were divided up into categories, and there were different people of different positions. They were ziknei beso, elders, who might relate to death differently than, let's say, a military man, like a rechev and parashim. So those people relate to death differently. But apparently, because all the emotions of the Hesped were enunciated, and the whole gamut of emotions were described or enunciated in the Hesped, apparently it was able to touch all those people in a different way. You see, if, let's say you, let me give you an example. If you have like a person who gets up to be maspid, to eulogize somebody, and he just starts screaming. But in the crowd, you have like an older person who's a little bit on the colder side. So you're not going to necessarily affect them through the scream. You might affect them through just describing the person's life more so than a scream. But if you have, let's say you have a more emotional person in the crowd, then you might affect them more so by the emotion of screaming. Or so different people, based on where they are in life and you know what social status they are, they relate to death differently on an emotional level. And the idea, the beauty of the Hesped of Yaakov is that the Hesped of Yaakov was able to affect, it was able to enunciate the whole gamut of emotions, and it was able to affect all those people in their own framework based on their status, their social status, and who they were. Okay, so I think this is a beautiful idea in terms of, you know, us. You know, when we're trying to give a Hesped, you know, what should we be focusing on? So I think this Rabbi Yochanan is giving us insight. He's saying that when you give a Hesped, you want to enunciate the emotions that you're feeling. But he's also explaining that in order to touch, you know, to touch the people that are present, you know, you have to hit on many different types of emotions. And not everybody's going to feel the same way about death, or nor are they going to feel the same way about the person who died. But you're supposed to express the impact of the loss of the person, and you're free to express that in many different ways. So I think that's what Rabbi Yochanan is saying. Okay? So let's get back to the original question on the Psukim. So what exactly is the difference between the first type of Bechiyah and the second type? So the first type of Bechiyah was superficial, but the second type of Bechiyah was based on a real intense, you know, emotional understanding of the loss of Yaakov. And the Hesped really accomplished that, as the Torah says, Vayavo ad Gorn Ha'atad, Asher Be'evar HaYarden, Vayitzpedu Sham, Misped Gadol V'Chaved Me'od. And then you see later in number in 11 in Yud Aleph, it says that even the outsiders were able to sense the intensity of the mourning. It says Vayomru Avel Kaved Zeh LeMitzrayim Al Kein Krashma Avel Mitzrayim Asher Be'evar HaYarden. So it seems like there was a shift in the mourning of the Mitzrayim from like I said, from a superficial mourning to a deeper mourning, to an understanding of what really Yaakov meant and what his loss really meant. Okay. Anybody have any questions or any thoughts or points that they want to add? Is it clear? Anybody? All right. It's a quiet crowd on the phone line today.
It's good.
Okay, thank you. All right. All right, so I think that's the idea. So the Torah is trying to express the way the Mitzrayim related to Yaakov. But the question is, why is that important also? So I think there's a medrash that I want to take up that kind of takes this idea a little bit deeper, a little bit further, okay? So if you look at source number 7, he explains on Goren HaTad in Pasuk Yud. So what is Goren HaTad? So literally it means a threshing floor, which surrounded by thorn bushes, which is strange. And if you look at Rashi, it says Goren HaTad, Mukaf Atin Haya. It was a threshing floor that was surrounded by thorn bushes. It was Mukaf Atin. It was surrounded by thorn bushes. That's why it was called Goren HaTad. But why is that significant? Why does the Torah have to mention that this is where the mourning took place? So there's a nice medrash here, and we're going to delve into it a little bit. It says, V'rabosenu darshu al shem ha-ma'ura shebo'u kol malchei Kanaan u'nasiyei Yishmael le'milchama. So what happened? So they went to bury Yaakov, and all the kings of Canaan and the princes of Yishmael came to battle, to fight.
V'chevan shiro kisro shel Yosef talui ba'arono shel Yaakov, when they saw the crown of Yosef, that it was attached, it was hanging on the aron, on the coffin of Yaakov, amdu kulon v'salu bo kisrayim. They all stood up and they didn't fight, and instead they hung their own crowns on the coffin of Yaakov. V'hikifu k'sarem kegoren amukaf siyag shel kotzim. And they surrounded it, the coffin, they surrounded the coffin with crowns, like a goron that's like a threshing floor that's surrounded by thorns. Okay? So it's a strange medrash, but the Gemara in Sota actually explains it a little bit further. So let's just do the Gemara in Sota so we get a fuller idea as to what the nature of the medrash is. And then of course, I think we can answer, you know, what the significance of, you know, the loss, the mourning of Yaakov to the Mitzrayim, why it's significant, why it's in the Torah. Okay, so if you look in number 8, it says, Maishno, he has a good question. Maishno me'ikara dechsev, vayal Yosef likbor saviv, vayalu ito kol avde paro. So why is it that in the beginning it says that Yosef went up to bury his father, and then it says that all the servants of Paro came, and then afterwards, v'hadar, in the next psukim, it says, v'chol beis Yosef v'achiv v'beis aviv. And then it says all the brothers came. Umayishno devesof, but in the end, when they're going back, it says, Vayashov Yosef Mitzrayim hu ve'achav, v'hadar v'chol ha'ulim itol likbor saviv. So what's the question? The question is, in the beginning, it says that first Yosef went, then the Mitzrayim went, and then the brothers went. But on the way back, it says that Yosef went, and then the brothers went, and then the Mitzrayim. So the order is different. On the way up, it says that Yosef went first, and then the Mitzrayim. But on the way back, it says that Yosef went back first, and the brothers came back, and then the Mitzrayim came after the brothers. So the question is, what is the nature of this change? Why is the Torah telling us that there's a change in order? Something that would seemingly be insignificant, but the Medrash actually gives us a significance. It says, Amar of Yochanan. So Rav Yochanan says, B'tchila ad shelo ro'u b'chvodan shel Yisrael lo nahagu bahen kavod. Until they saw the glory of Yisrael, of Yaakov, they didn't afford Klal Yisrael, they didn't afford the brothers any respect. V'liv sof, but in the end, shelo'u b'chvodan, when they saw the respect given to Yaakov, nahagu bahen kavod. So they also afforded the brothers respect. Dichsiv, as it says, Vayavo agoran ha'atad, v'chigoran yesh lo la'atad. So as it says in this pasuk, they came to the goran ha'atad. Is there a threshing floor with the thorn bushes? Amar Rabavahu malami chikifu k'sarim la'arono shel Yaakov, kigoran zeh shemakifin lo'atad. So they surrounded it with like we said before, they surrounded Yaakov with their crowns, Shibo'u b'nei Esav of Nei Yishmael of Nei Keturah. The sons of Esav, the sons of Yishmael, and the sons of Keturah, they all came, and it says, Tana kulam l'melchama bo'u, they all came to fight. Kevan shiro kisro shel Yosef, talui ba'arono shel Yaakov, once they saw the crown of Yosef attached to the aron of Yaakov, nutlu kulan kisrein, utzla'um ba'arono shel Yaakov. So they took off their crowns, and they attached it to the coffin of Yaakov. Tana shlosha v'shisha k'sarim nitlu ba'arono shel Yaakov. There were 36 crowns that were attached to the aron of Yaakov. Okay? So the Medrash is trying to give us a little bit more to the story of what happened. So what happened? They were going up to bury Yaakov, and they came to this place called Goren HaTad, and apparently all the kings of Canaan and Esav, they came there, and they saw the crown of Yosef affixed to the coffin of Yaakov, and instead of fighting, they put down their crowns, and they actually surrounded Yaakov, and then afterwards, it sounds like the Mitzrayim afforded the Jews more respect. They afforded the brothers more respect. So I just want to understand the idea of this medrash. Like, what is the purpose of this medrash, and what happened that they saw the crown of Yosef attached to the coffin of Yaakov, and all of a sudden they showed him respect. Okay, why is that, and what changed with the Mitzrayim? What exactly changed there? Okay, so let's look at Rashi just before we answer the question. Look at Rashi number 9. He says Shlosha v'shisha k'sarim. The last two lines. There were 36 crowns. He says, Yudbez Nasim de Yishmal, V'chaf Gimel Alufim Nimnu Be'esav. So there was 23 princes of Esav, and there was 12 princes of Yishmal. V'im Tomar Chaf Hehein, Taman Uknaz Nimnu Be'es Pa'amim. So maybe you'll say there's 25. Then he says that Taman Uknaz were counted twice. V'im Tomar Korach Nimna Be'es Pa'amim, Shnei Korachin. There were two Korachs, Echad Mimnei Alifaz, V'echad Mimnei Alivyoma, U'mikomakum Lamed Hehein, V'chisro shel Yosef ari lamed vav. So there's 36 in total. There was 35 from Esav and Keturah and Yishmael, and there was one of Yosef. So what exactly happened here? So I want to understand, why did Yosef attach his crown to Yaakov? So what is the significance of that? So you see, I think the idea is like this. See, Yaakov, he really had a very tough life. We saw in last week's parsha, if you listen to the shir last week, Yaakov expresses that his life was very hard. And anybody who saw Yaakov's life would not classify that life as a life of kingship, of dominion, of malchus. Malchus really is the opposite. A person who's a melech really has power and demonstrates control. It's not really a person who you know, has a tough life and who has a difficult life. So the idea, I think, of Yosef attaching his crown to Yaakov is that he was trying to demonstrate that his kingship, Yosef's kingship, emanated from Yaakov, and that Yaakov was really responsible for Yosef's kingship. And by affixing the crown, his crown, to Yaakov's coffin, he's demonstrating that you shouldn't view Yaakov as not ro'i, is not appropriate for Malchus, his kingship, but really Yosef's kingship was really attached, was really a compliment to Yaakov. And like, let me give you an example. We always have, there's always families where there's always an anomaly in the family. If you have like a family of very short people and then you have the tall kid, or the opposite, you have very tall people and you have a short kid, or if you have intelligence-wise, if you have a dumb family, very smart kid, there's always an anomaly, or not always an anomaly, but very often there's a phenomena of anomaly where you see a kid and you can't understand, you know, how they came from that family, and you just view them as kind of an anomaly. They're kind of separate from the family and you don't understand how they came from them, but you just view them as kind of a separate entity. So Yosef wanted to express the opposite. You see, people shouldn't view Yosef as an anomaly, but rather they should view Yosef as an emanation from Yaakov, and that his malchus, that Yosef's malchus and his ability to lead was really or really stemmed from Yaakov's kingship, his innate sense of kingship, of dominion. So you see, I think the Medrash is expressing this idea in terms of the Bnei Yishmael and the Bnei Esav, because why were they ready to fight? They were really ready to fight because they saw a certain weakness. When do people usually fight? When they sense that there's a weakness and there's something that they can take advantage of. But they saw a very important idea here. They saw that really Yaakov really commanded, he really had an innate kingship. But Yosef was the expression of that kingship. It wasn't Yaakov alone, but Yosef, his son, who emanated, his leadership emanated from Yaakov, he was really the expression of Yaakov's kingship. And all the kings of Canaan and Esav, they're trying to show respect to that. They recognize that. So their view of Yaakov changed. They no longer viewed Yaakov as as a person, an embattled person, a person with a hard life, but they understood that he was really the source of this great malchus, this great kingship of Yosef. But how did that affect the Mitzrayim? You know, what changed? So if we look in the Psukim, look at number 10 and 11, and we see this in the past Parsha, it says in number 10, Lamed Beis, Vayasimu lo levado v'lahem levadam v'lamitzrim ha'ochlim ito levadam ki lo yichlon ha'mitzrim lechol sa'ivrim lechem ki to'evah hi lemitzrayim. Earlier on in the Parshios, it says that the Mitzrayim, they could not eat bread with the Hebrews, with Yosef or his brothers, anybody from the Hebrews. So the question is, why not? Why couldn't they eat bread with the Hebrews? So the famous explanation is because the Jews ate the gods of the Mitzrayim. That's the famous explanation. But the Rashbam, he actually has, a clearer explanation in number 11. So let's look at it. He says, Kito Eva, because it was an abomination for the Egyptians to eat with the Hebrews. V'kichoi ubizoi hul Mitzrayim lechol im anshe Eivor Hanar. It was very degrading for the Mitzrayim to eat with the Ivrim. Ki nivzim hayu beinam. They were very denigrated in their eyes. The anshe Mitzrayim gasei ruach. The people of Mitzrayim, they're very haughty and very egocentric. Hayu kedichsiv karasi lezos ravim hem sheves. V'chein ki toavas Mitzrayim kol roi tzon mevazim hayu beinam haroim. The shepherds were also very denigrated. Lefishat tzon hayu maus beinam. They looked at cattle as very disgusting. Kedichsiv hein nizbach es toavas Mitzrayim lehem lo yisgulunu. Davar hamashukatz lemitzrayim umolos nizbach leinam letzirenu velo yivzu osanu lesuklenu ba'avanim derech bizayon kimosh matzinu b'shimei ben gera yatzo yatzav v'yisaka. So they basically said that they're gonna sacrifice what the Egyptians view as disgusting to our God, and the Egyptians are gonna see that and they're gonna want to destroy us. They're gonna want to stone us. But what is the Rashbam, just to summarize, what is the Rashbam saying? He's saying that the Egyptians viewed the Ivrim, they viewed the Jews as beneath them, and they were very haughty. But I think the Medrash is expressing the change in the view of the Mitzrayim and the perspective and perception of the Mitzrayim of the Jews, that it changed through the Avelus of Yaakov. Why? Because, you see, it's the same idea as the Canaanim. They recognized that really Yaakov had an innate kingship, and that his kingship resulted in Yosef's leadership, and Yosef's leadership wasn't an anomaly. And once they understood that idea, once they accepted that idea, they also looked at the brothers differently. Because it sounds like before, if you look in the Pesukim, before, the brothers, instead of coming up first with Yosef, they come up after the Mitzrayim. Why? Because the Mitzrayim, they denigrated the Ivrim. They didn't have a very high view of the Ivrim. But they looked at Yosef. Yosef still went first. Why? Because Yosef was an anomaly. He wasn't like the other brothers. He was just the exception that came from that family. But once Yosef demonstrated that his leadership really emanated from Yaakov, and that Yaakov was really the source of his kingship, of his greatness, so now they viewed Yaakov differently. And once they viewed Yaakov differently, they viewed the brothers differently as well. Because Yehuda and Reuven and Shimon and Levi, they were no longer the sons of Yaakov, you know, the peasant, but now they're the sons of Yaakov, the king. And there was almost like a unity in Yosef and the brothers in the eyes of the Mitzrayim. So the reason I think this medrash is a beautiful medrash, because it's explaining why the Torah is telling us about the mourning of the Mitzrayim of Yaakov. You see, the medrash is saying that it wasn't just an idea in mourning, but it was also that the perspective that the Mitzrayim had of the Jews changed as a result of this. They had a greater respect for the Jews. They saw the Jews not as the children of peasants of Yaakov, who had a very difficult life, but now they saw the Jews as B'nai Malachim, as the children of a melech, of a king. And Yosef, by affixing his crown to the coffin of Yaakov, is really demonstrating this idea. He's really demonstrating that Yosef's not an anomaly, that he's not that one kid that's very tall or the one kid that's very short, but rather his leadership can be tied back to Yaakov himself. And the Yaakov was really, you know, was really the source of his leadership. Okay? Does anybody have any questions, or does that idea make sense? Any thoughts? Possibilities? Okay, so let me just review, you know, what we did tonight. So I think we demonstrated in the Pesukim why it's relevant to tell us how significant the mourning of Yaakov was to the Mitzrayim. You see, we showed in the first set of Pesukim that there was a shift in the nature of the mourning. That first, the Mitzrayim, they view Yaakov from a selfish standpoint, and their cry is for their own loss, their own personal loss. But then the Hesped, this great, beautiful eulogy that was given for Yaakov, apparently it affects the Egyptians on a deeper level, and they're able to relate to Yaakov in a much more intense manner. And they don't just mourn him because of his selfish reasons, but they mourn him because of an appreciation of who Yaakov was and what he meant. And that's why the Torah tells us from a pshat level that even the Canaanim, even the people of Canaan, they saw and they recognized the intensity of this mourning. And then we went into the Rabbeinu Chananel, where he explains what the idea of Hesped eulogy is, and that eulogy is really an enunciation of the full gamut of emotions that a person feels at death, and how different people relate to death differently, and how emotions are expressed and felt differently amongst different classes of people. And the eulogy of Yaakov affected everybody. It was able to touch, you know, the elder, and it was able to touch, you know, Yosef, and it was able to touch everybody in their own class. And then we described this idea that Yosef was trying to demonstrate a key point about Yaakov, that he was trying to demonstrate that Yaakov, even though he had a tough life, and you couldn't really see Malchus in Yaakov himself from his life, but Yosef was really an expression of that Malchus. He really demonstrated that kingship and leadership really emerged from Yaakov, and that they weren't two separate ideas or two separate entities. So that's really the
And as a result, the Mitzrayim viewed the Jews differently, and so did the Canaanim and the Yishmaelim and Bnei Esau. Their perspective of the Jews changed as a result of the mourning of Yaakov Avinu. Okay, so hopefully, you know, this year, you know, will give us insight into mourning and eulogies, and also just, you know, the perspective that the Mitzrayim had of Yaakov and of the Jews, and how it changed as a result of the whole Avelis, the whole mourning process that's described in this week's Parsha. Okay? Any thoughts, questions, anybody? All right. Was it clear? Are the ideas clear? Mom?
Yes.
All right. All right. So everybody, I want you to have a good night, and thanks for calling in. So have a good Shabbos. All right? Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Have a good Shabbos.
You too.
Have a good Shabbos.
Thank you. You too.